Welcome once again to Inspiration Sounds. I'm your host for today's show, Budzamudra Knox, and this is episode 37, an episode in which we shall bring two stories to you. Firstly, a story entitled The Saint's Humility, and to end, we shall conclude with part two of The Seeker Writer, a very interesting conclusion to the story that we began last week. As always, you can view all these stories online at srichinmoylibrary.com. And to all our friends and well-wishers around the world, I hope you had a great week and thank you for your support. Well, without any further ado today, we're going to get right into these stories. So sit back and relax, put your feet up, chill out for a moment, then hear these stories from the heart of the world. The Saint's Humility, written by Sri Chinmoy, dramatized by Budzamudra Knox. Once, there was a saint who had quite a few disciples. His disciples loved and adored him from the very depths of their hearts. One day, the saint was meditating all alone at the foot of a tree. While he was in deep trance, a man approached him. This man was full of pride and haughtiness. He kicked the saint and commanded him to get up. Since the saint's trance was broken, he stood up. The man placed a heavy load on the saint's shoulders and said, "Today my servants are not available. It is beneath my dignity to carry this heavy load myself, so you have to do it for me. I can clearly see that you are just a lazy fellow. He was only sleeping under the tree. Anyway, I shall give you some money, and afterwards you can have a nice meal." The saint most obediently followed the man and carried the load to the destination, which was the man's home. The man told him, "Wait here until I come back, and then I will give you some money and food." So saying, the man went inside the house. The saint stayed there, not because he wanted money, but because he was extremely tired from carrying such a heavy load and he needed rest. In the meantime, the saint's disciples were looking for their master. They had not found him in his usual position at the foot of the tree, so they had begun searching for him here, there, and everywhere. Eventually, they found him in the next village, sitting by the roadside, outside a large house. They asked, "Master, what are you doing here?" At that very moment, the man emerged from his house and said, "What are all you people doing here outside my house? This man is my servant. He has just carried a heavy load for me, and he did it very well." When the disciples heard these words, they became furious and rushed to attack the man. The saint shouted at them, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Do not hurt this man. God wanted me to have more humility. Therefore, I have carried this load cheerfully. God wanted to shine bright, brighter, brightest. To my sorrow, I am not physically strong, so I am totally exhausted. But in a few minutes' time, I will regain my strength and go back with you." Even after hearing the saint's humble and compassionate words, the haughty man showed no remorse. The saint's disciples said to the man, "You are a real scoundrel. Just because we are obedient to our master, we are not going to thrash you, but we could easily do so." The man got frightened and ran indoors. The saint said to his disciples, "My children, God wanted me to learn something today, but it seems that you do not want me to learn it." One disciple said, "Forgive us, Master. Forgive us. God may want you to learn something, but at the same time, we are also sure that he wants us to teach that scoundrel a lesson. God is acting in and through you in one way, and he is acting in and through us in another. This is the philosophy that you have taught us. Please, please forgive us. The master gave his disciples a powerful smile. What else could the poor master do? And now part two of the Seeker Writer. If you remember last week, our story concerns a writer who has written four most important books. The first one was about animals, the second book was about man, the third was about himself, and the fourth was about God. And now he goes to read these books out aloud to the most powerful among the animals, the highest among men, the best inside of himself, and to God. So he reads out the first book to a lion. He reads out the second book to a king. The third book he reads to his own soul. And the fourth book he reads to God. However, from each of his audiences, he does not receive the appreciation, the admiration that he was seeking. And so very puzzled and very disheartened, he decides to read the books to some other people to try and gain their appreciation. However, where we left off last week, he'd read out the book to his own heart, and to his consternation, his heart started crying. And so now the conclusion to the Seeker Writer. Part 2 of The Seeker Writer, written by Sri Chinmoy, dramatized by Budsamudra Knox and Nudipon Brown. To his consternation, the heart started crying.
Why are you crying?
I am crying because you are a fool. I am not indispensable. It is only the soul that is indispensable. You have to give the soul its proper value. You must know that the soul is infinitely more beautiful than I am. The soul has a divine spark, a divine light. I only feel sorry for your stupidity. You are appreciating the wrong person. It is the soul that deserves this kind of praise and admiration, not I. Never.
Look how nice the heart is. I am appreciating it so fully, and it gives all the credit to the soul. The soul that was so nasty. I'm very touched.
He was very touched, and he deeply appreciated the heart's nobility and generosity. Next, he went to one of the minor cosmic gods. He stood in front of him.
Oh, who cares for God? We go to him, we appreciate and adore him, we praise him, and he just says, it is all right. Now I say, it is all wrong. It seems to me that God has become old and does not talk sensibly. He does not know how to appreciate even an ordinary being. God is not doing anything well. Oh, minor God, your beauty surpasses God's, and you are far wiser than God. In a few years, you are going to transcend God and replace him, and you will be able to rule the present creation much better than God.
While extolling the cosmic god to the sky, the writer placed a flower at his feet.
I didn't place a flower at the feet of God, but you rightly deserve my appreciation, admiration, and adoration. So to you I offer the flower.
The cosmic god said, you fool! Do I deserve this kind of thing? He is the Lord. He is the Supreme. And then the cosmic god took the flower and placed it at the feet of God and bowed down to the omnipotent God, the Supreme. The writer was deeply impressed and said to himself,
look at the cosmic god's nobility. All my appreciation, admiration, and adoration he could easily have kept for himself. He could easily have said, I am glad that you have realized my capacity. But no, he offered all the appreciation, admiration, and adoration that I offered him at the feet of God, the Supreme. People think that he is inferior to God, but look at his heart's magnanimity. To me, he is the one who is really superior. Now I have come to realize that all the inferiors are far superior to their so-called superiors. In each case, it has been proved. The tiger showed gratitude. The minister showed appreciation with money. The heart showed its sincerity and nobility, and the cosmic God offered all my adoration to the supreme God. This proves that those who are great are not really great, and those who are not great are really great.
The seeker writer went home very pleased with his discovery. After he fell asleep that night, he saw a most beautiful human being all of a sudden standing in front of him. The being appeared to be a saint. The seeker asked,
What do you want from me?
I have come only to see you.
Today I have been terribly disappointed. All the time, I used to cherish the idea that the superior would be superior in every way. But now, I am seeing that the inferior are actually superior to the superior.
Now tell me, how do the superior become inferior and the inferior become superior? So the writer told the whole story. Unfortunately, you are mistaken. You are simply a fool.
What do you mean I am a fool? Why do you think I am a fool?
When the lion was roaring, it was not because he wanted to devour you. On the contrary, he was roaring with tremendous joy and inspiration. The lion felt that your appreciation made him stronger. Your praise had energized the lion to such an extent that he wanted to show his courage and strength. That is why he was showing you through his thunderous roaring, his own gratitude. He was also telling the other animals, Look, here I am well appreciated even by the human beings. So it was gratitude he was offering to you. But you misunderstood him. You wrote a few things about the king, highly appreciating him, and the king said, Thank you. But you must understand that the king does not care for this kind of appreciation. Every day he gets lots of appreciation and admiration from men who are far more important than you. You are only an ordinary man. Yet the king allowed you to come to his palace. He listened to you, and he most kindly said, Thank you. You must remember that he is a great man and has many, many things to do. Kings don't usually even say, Thank you. They just nod their heads. Yet your most generous king has given his very precious time and also said, Thank you. What more can you expect from a great king? To get a thank you from the king is really something. Now, about the soul. When you spoke highly of the soul smiled at you most beautifully and divinely. To get a smile from the soul is not a common thing. After all, the soul represents God on earth. When this soul of yours gave you a generous smile, it offered its own divinity to you. So you saw and received your soul's divinity in the form of a smile, and you say that the soul didn't appreciate you or give you anything? You are such a fool. Now about God. You appreciated, admired, and adored God, and God said to you, It is all right. When God tells you, It is all right, that means that what you have said is perfect. Look, we human beings say everything wrong. We write everything wrong. We do everything wrong. For God to say that what you wrote is all right means that God has fully sanctioned all your writings. It means that he is telling you that what you have written is absolutely correct, absolutely right. You fool. God has appreciated you much more than you actually deserved. If God told me something that I said or did was all right, I would be so proud, so utterly delighted. We are all ignorant people. For us to do anything right and to hear from God that it is all right is the height of glory. What more do we need? What more can we deserve? The superior are always superior and will remain so, but we are not able to understand them. When we do not understand, we go to those inferior to them and try to create a problem between the superior and the inferior. But if we are sincere, if we are earnest, then we will come to see that the superior are always superior. And the superior will offer their appreciation in a different way from those lower than they. When we mix with the inferiors, just because we ourselves are equal to them, we understand their appreciation perfectly well. But when we actually mix with the real superiors, we do not understand their way of appreciation.